Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, where, man, we just continue to cover these pretty wild markets and markets that continue to drift lower. And this week, it was another big week with the Fed meeting. Also, a surprise ECB meeting. But again, the Fed and their 75 basis point hike, again, just showed investors, it seems like, at least right now, how serious the Fed is to try to get inflation under control. And they seem to be okay with markets continuing to correct. And that's what we saw after that statement. We are kicking off the show in the first few segments with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. This is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail or individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader, as well as a piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs, with the overall goal to beat the S&P. And we've heard from Rick recently that, boy, oh boy, has he ever been beating that S&P. Rick, let's start off broadly, though, with the Fed decision, the Fed meeting this week where the Fed hiked rates by 75 basis points. It didn't seem like that hike, that 75 basis points, was on the table until after that most recent inflation number, which happened 2 Fridays ago. And then the markets, boy, oh boy, did we see market interest rates scream higher. Rick, first and foremost, what was your takeaway from that 75 basis point hike by the Fed?
Well, hi, Corey, and hi, Chad. I think the Fed was forced to do 75. It was probably not their initial intent. But after that number came out and the way Fed fund futures were priced, I think they had no choice but to do 75. If they had done the 50 that had been the consensus number up until a few days before the announcement, I think they would have been looked at as being very weak and still very behind the curve of what needed to be done. So I think they were pretty much forced to do the 75 bit hike.
Well, Rick, when you look at, you know, the trajectory that they're on to continue doing these rate hikes, there's been some messaging that came out recently. They ultimately want to get the Fed funds rate up. They say between a target of 3 to 4%. We've seen a lot of market turbulence, though, just on these first three hikes. So do you think that it's actually something where they're going to ignore even more market weakness just to temper the demand side of the equation since they can't really affect supply and just go ahead and plow forward with it? Or is there potentially a breaking point where if the market makes enough noise, they just may have to pause and at least wait to see what they've done, what effects it has?
I think for the time being, you have to look at it that the Fed is not going to care a heck of a lot about what happens to the stock market. They have a mandate to have inflation under control, and they have lost control of that issue, and that is one of two main mandates they have. I think to save face, they're going to have to do but they need to in order to rein in inflation, which is going to mean significantly higher rates over time, potentially quite a bit of it this year. And whatever happens to the stock market happens to the stock market. I think they're going to be less concerned now about that particular asset pricing and have to do what they have to do. Look, they let things get out of control for years. They eased when easing was not needed. Their balance sheet is significant. They need to unwind that, and they need to get inflation under control. So Chairman Powell just got elected to another 4 years. He really needs to kind of save face, and I think that is going to be their primary goal now. And they fueled the stock market rally for years. They may need to be the same reason that the stock market comes off.
So, Rick, do you think inflation could significantly come down in, say, the next 3 to 6 months until the end of the year with all these rate hikes when you combine the slowdown in the economy? Sentiment is also getting lower. Consumers are starting to run out of money here. Could inflation correct almost just as fast as it went up?
I don't think it'll correct as fast as it went up, but I think that the slowdown that's likely to occur, both from ridiculously high food prices and over $5 at the pump gas prices, there is and will be a continued slowdown in people's discretionary spending. One of my daughters lives in Tampa, Florida, and she works in Bradenton, Florida, which is a 50-mile drive in each direction each day. And it's all highway driving, but it's costing her a chunk of money to get to and from work each week. And, you know, that's going to be something where her salary hasn't been upped because of that huge increase in you know, her expenditure to get to work. She'll have to do with less elsewhere. And I think that's just a very typical example of the high price of oil and driving your car. I think people are going to stop and think now about when they make trips, you know, or can they combine trips, and am I going to take that, you know, hour drive to take a nice nature walk on the weekend somewhere? I think a lot of that becomes very conscious in people's minds now, and that in and of itself will help decrease demand as we potentially roll towards a recession. Go to the supermarket and see what you're paying for, you know, prices of things. It's gotten crazy, and it's going to get a heck of a lot worse. So I think the inflationary pressures when it comes to food prices are not close to being at the highs. So to answer your question, yes, we could see a tempering of inflation over the next 6 months simply because the demand picture decreases. Nonetheless, the inflationary numbers will still be well above the target that the Fed has set, and it's still going to impact people's spending habits.
Do you think there's a point where, to the point about the food cost and energy cost eating into discretionary spending, that this may hit the balance sheets of companies in a big way, and we may start seeing the consumers, which have so far been pretty strong, not be there for retail, for consumer discretionary, for some of those sectors? You know, are you worried about some of those sectors maybe having bad earnings reports in the next 2 quarters?
Well, look, when I think that the earnings revisions numbers are coming down on the street, and yet the market has not come down as much as the earnings revisions are coming down, which leads me to believe that we're not done going down. Now, we can get a bounce at any time. We can't really judge today and tomorrow's price action as necessarily a reaction to what the Fed did, because tomorrow's a triple witch, or even, we'll say, a quadruple witch. I mean, there's huge downside hedging that's going on. And the people on the other side of it, you know, are now dealing with the fact that they've got huge open interest inputs that are going, as of right now, are priced against them. So I'm not going to look at today and tomorrow's price action necessarily as being the true response to the Fed. And I think that at any time, certainly given how oversold the market is, we could always see a bounce. But I've said it all year. I've said it to you guys before. We are minimally in a two-way trading market as compared to what we've seen in the past, which was purely buy the dips. You didn't have to worry about selling. It was just buy the dips. We are in a two-way market where you also need to sell rallies. And the question is, are we even going to see rallies to sell into?
Oh, that's a scary thought, isn't it there, Rick? Are we even going to have rallies during this bear market? Quite the outlook, or quite the potential downfall that we still have set up for U.S. markets. We're out of time for this first segment. We're having you back on next segment, Rick. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits. At least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, we talked a lot about Fed policy and the general bear market that we're going through. One key factor I think to understand is that a lot of investors haven't lived through a true bear market. Some of the most recent bear markets have come so quickly and so sharply that the rebounds have almost mirrored that and been very quick and sharp. Rick, how do you compare this time to bear markets in the past? Give everybody some context on how you think this is similar to other bear markets, in a way kind of ignoring some of these flash crashes that we've had.
Right. Well, so one of the things, and I'm glad you just even used the term bear markets, because I do a lot of interviews, and of course I have my The No Trader podcast every week. One of the things that I've made a big point of is that I really think the press has done a disservice to the public by only, what was it, earlier this week, finally saying that we had a bear market, because they're so stuck on this 20% number for the S&P. So we got 19.9% and had a bounce, and they go, oh, the market's not in a bear market. It has traded like a bear market all year. And so first, I mean, who is the intended audience when you say now we're in a bear market? Is that supposed to have, oh, well, now the average Joe should consider selling because we've sold off 20% from a high? I mean, to me, it's utter foolish. It's just bad journalism. And I'm really disappointed. And I see it across the scope of it's the major newspapers, the major television channels that people watch. That report on the news are saying, you know, now we're finally in a bear market. Well, hello, what do you think we've been doing all year? Market has traded like that all year. The NASDAQ has been like that for over a year. It's just kind of silly. So now when you talk about, you know, what do we do with a bear market? Is this different than others? Well, the last real bear market, we'll say, was from the peak in 2007 to the bottom in March of 2009. And that was the great financial crisis. And this, we're starting to see similarities in the sense of the severe declines, the minimal bounces, the fact that there's some real structural issues. And in this case, instead of it being mortgages blowing up, it's really the fact that the Fed has lost control over the inflation picture and has forced rates higher. Remember, it's just a short time ago, within, I guess, I don't know, last year, year and a half, give or take, that there was no other place to put your money but the stock market. Interest rates were darn close to zero. Right? The U.S. 10-year got down to 40 basis points. The short, you know, with the three-month treasuries were, what, 15 bips or something like that. I mean, there was nowhere to put your money except the stock market. And then the Fed loses the battle against inflation, which they never seemed to care about until it was already a bad situation. And now they force rates higher, which means that bonds that you owned have lost considerable price value. So you've had huge capital losses on your bonds. The stocks are now down 20%+ in S&P terms, 30%+ in NASDAQ terms. Bitcoin has fallen, I don't know what, 60%, something like that. The only thing that's kind of held up is gold. And so gold has been a good hedge. You're not making money with gold, but you're not losing money. And in that respect, it's the hedge that you'd want it to be. In the very simple terms is you're not losing money by being in gold when all these other asset classes are going down. So the typical risk on assets have now kind of fallen apart, and gold has at least held steady. And it would have done much better if it wasn't for the dollar flying. But the dollar's on multi-year highs.
One of the points you just made was, I think, right on, that the financial media is usually late to the game. By the time they plant their flag and declare it a bear market, it's been pretty obvious for many, many months. I mean, really, since the third quarter and fourth quarter of last year, we started seeing certain sectors begin their rollover, and that's only continued. So I'm curious, Rick, as someone that does the 7-Eleven report and you're able to continue to rotate into the sectors that are going to outperform the other 11 as a general rule of thumb. And I know you look at behavioral psychology, quantitative analysis, technical analysis, the fundamental backdrop, but how can investors take a page out of your book, Rick, and get into these trends or position their portfolio before the mainstream media announces it?
So part of it is the anticipation. You've got to be able to anticipate what happens. Think about, it was right Wayne Gretzky who said something like, I go to where the puck is going to be, not where it is, right? So he was great because he could anticipate where the puck was going to go to. I think part of what we do at In the Know Trader and is different than most is we're better than most at anticipating the changes that are going to take place from a sector point of view before it's obvious to everyone else. Case in point, let's say last summer we went overweight financials when nobody wanted to touch them. We went overweight in August energy, and energy was near its 20-year historical all-time low versus the S&P. But the models we use, including, as you said, quant, technical, behavioral strategy, we combine them all to anticipate where the changes are going to be before something's moved 20%, and then everybody goes, oh, I guess it's no longer a bear market. It must be a bull market. And it's in that respect, you know, in the month of May, the 7-Eleven report outperformed. In fact, it had its best month in the 22-month history since we started it in August of 2020. It outperformed the S&P by 165 basis points just in the month of May alone. Year to date, we're outperforming by 344 basis points through May 31st. For our fiscal year, we're up by 4.4%, which started August of last summer. And in the 22 months since we started 7-Eleven, we've outperformed by 698 basis points. So basically 7% in less than 2 years, simply by being able to anticipate better than most the shifts in the sectors before they're obvious. And the what can an investor do? Well, they could subscribe to the 7-Eleven report. It's very inexpensive. It comes out once a month on the last day of the month to give you new allocations for the next month. And frankly, I give this away for like ridiculously low price. It's $87 a month if you go month by month, and it's only the equivalent of $74 a month if you go and pay for the whole year up front. You're getting access to some of the most sophisticated institutional models that exist.
All right, Rick, we're out of time for this segment. I can say that I read over the 7-Eleven report, and hey, you have consistently beat the markets. Congratulations. Well done on that, and I love the simplicity of that report. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back. One more segment with Rick Bensinger.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
USA Radio News, I'm Victor Paul. Satellite images released Thursday have revealed the extent of damage caused by recent flooding at Yellowstone National Park. The flooding, which began earlier this week, caused extremely hazardous conditions throughout the park, which spreads across Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. The floodwaters were spurred by heavy rain and snowmelt. The National Park Service said most of the damage happened in the northern section of the park. Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney on Thursday accused the White House of misleading Congress about its need for additional funding for COVID-19 programs. During a Senate Health Committee meeting, Romney expressed surprise that the White House reallocated $10 billion to fund the purchase of additional vaccines, therapeutics, and monoclonal antibodies on June 8th, after it had previously told lawmakers it did not have the funding to purchase such items. This is USA Radio News.
Two U.S. military veterans who went missing in Ukraine last week were shown on a Russian news broadcast telling their loved ones Russian separatists had captured them. The footage on the Russian news outlet was the first time the missing men, both from Alabama, were seen since they went missing on June 9th. Neither the U.S. nor the Russian government has confirmed that the American men are being held. Abortion rights are not protected in Iowa.
Iowa Supreme Court ruled Friday that abortion rights are not protected by the state's constitution, a move that paves the way for lawmakers to ban future abortions in the Hawkeye state. The court reported, quote, "All we hold today is that the Iowa Constitution is not the source of a fundamental right to an abortion," end quote. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pryor.
This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and this is our final segment with Rick Bensignor. These three segments, all part of a bigger, longer discussion that we had with Rick. That full discussion will be posted on our website under that weekend show posting. So if you want even more of Rick Bensignor, be sure to click on that weekend show posting and listen to segments 1 through 3. Rick, let's focus a little bit more on some individual sectors, starting with Simply Energy. Oil's come off a little bit, but most recently had a breakout above 120 for crude. Still looking strong, but I think it is finally getting pulled down a little bit by the markets. Are you still invested in oil? What is your positioning there?
So we are invested in XLE. It is one of the 7 of the 11 that we're in. And it has been our largest percentage overweight of any sector, which is part of how we've had such good returns. But literally on June 1st, we cut our exposure by 30%. So I'm still overweight XLE, but by a considerably less amount than we were coming into this month. And even though energy is still outperforming and the best performing sector, it's come well in relative terms. And again, we could kind of anticipate that this was the time and place that was likely to happen. And I can tell you that I do think the long-term relative bottom is in place in energy. And therefore, I do not anticipate going less than a neutral to benchmark weighting going forward. In other words, I do not anticipate seeing myself have energy be an underweight going forward. But I did anticipate that, you know, this is an area that this could easily stall in relative performance terms, and a lot of people came to the game late, and that's why timing is such an important thing, too. And people say, oh, you can't time the markets. Well, it's part of what I've done for 40 years. It's how my name and reputation on the street is built on being one of the most prominent trading strategists on the street. And I take 40 years worth of experience to this. In, you know, not some 26-year-old quant who says, here's how you beat the market. 40 years of experience having been a commodities floor trader for my first 12 years out of college, then on to Morgan Stanley in the commodities department. Then Bloomberg came after me, and I became their the head of all of commodities, futures, and technical analysis at Bloomberg, and I actually designed their whole charting system. Then I went back to Morgan Stanley and was made chief market strategist, and a few roles since then. You know, 40 years of experience takes you a long ways in having seen cycles and understanding markets and having been a trader, and then on the sell side and then on the buy side, gives me a unique perspective that a lot of people on the street don't have. And I think it makes a huge difference in understanding how markets work and trade, because I've been in all three roles of trader, sell side, and buy side.
Well, Rick, let's talk about commodities, because you have such a vast experience there. Aside from energy, aside from oil and gas, what is your take on the rest of the commodity sector, be it the metals or the agricultural commodities, the soft commodities? What's your outlook?
So in general, I think we're still in a longer term up move. But right now, I think commodities are in a pullback phase. So I'm not, you'll have a chance, to get them lower. So I think the grains stall out a bit. I think the metals have already stalled. If anything, they're getting just a little bit of a safety bid. If the dollar comes off, and I think up between 104 and about 106.5 in the dollar index is not a bad place to be thinking of fading the dollar. Bullish consensus is quite high on the dollar. And, you know, we've hit multiple targets, and some people say we broke out, but to me, we haven't really officially broken out yet. So I don't mind looking for the dollar to potentially get a bit of a pullback here and possibly get back under 100. So with that, I think that in general, commodities are going to stall, but I like them longer term. I'm still looking. I'd be looking to be a buyer. Usually I tend to play the sector as a complete sector, using, you know, one of the popular ETFs like the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index. The ticker on that is GSG. I think you get nice exposure to the, you know, broad market, broad exposure in the commodity sector there. It's not too heavily leaned towards the energy side the way like the CRB index is. So I think longer term, you still want to be in commodities. But if we get any slowdown here, I think you're going to see, you know, some of the demand just decrease. But in the big picture, when you look at the effects of the worldwide food shortage because of what's happened in the Ukraine, it's hard to see that, let's say, the basic grains like corn, wheat, and soybeans are going to get substantial pullbacks. But I do think near term they certainly could pause. So I don't want to necessarily chase right now. I do like the sector longer term, though.
So, Rick, a little off topic here. I want to talk about the financial sector, because financial stocks or banks usually do better when rates are higher. Now, of course, this isn't just a story of rates being higher and everything else being okay. The economy's struggling. The markets are struggling. That's clearly weighing on the financial sector. Do you see this as a sector that when things settle at whatever time that may be and however much longer financials might move down, that they could bounce back because we should be in a higher interest rate environment?
Yeah, in general, yes. You know, and I think a lot of people have been caught off guard about how the financials have done in relative terms to the S&P, because it is a sector that traditionally, with higher rates, banks are going to make money on the float, and the difference between borrowing short-term and lending long-term, and, you know, banks like higher interest rates. If you look at where the XLF is versus the S&P, you're kind of the same price you were a year ago, and yet interest rates are much, much higher. I think the A, it was a crowded trade, and B, the speed at which rates moved higher is what has bothered people in the from being able to move that sector higher. You'd naturally think that the big move up in rates would quickly help the bank's balance sheets, but it's not. And the investors are concerned. The best thing that could happen for financials is slow movement higher. Not the fact that, you know, just a few weeks ago we were at 1.7% in the 10-year, and we got to, you know, 2.5 very quickly. We went from 1.8 to 2.5 very quickly. And I think it's the speed at which interest rates are changing that has the most concern for people right now. So I am overweight financials, not a large amount, but it is one of the sectors that I do have exposure in. So it's one of the seven, and it is a slight overweight, but it's, you know, if you look at this also topped out kind of early first quarter versus the S&P, and it's just kind of sitting there and can't advance in relative terms. And I think it's the speed at which these rates have moved up.
Very interesting, Rick. We're going to wrap it up here. We've covered a lot, and I really like the broad comments early on about what the Fed is doing, how the markets are reacting, and again, realizing what type of a market this is, a bear market, and a bear market that hasn't just come with one or two shocks to the system. This is something that is pulling down pretty much every sector. And that's tough for investors to know what to do, because I don't think a lot of investors have faced this sort of a bear market. I honestly can't really remember a bear market that I've been that active in that has been this orderly and still seems very early on in the pullback. Rick, thank you as always for your time. It's great chatting with you. And hey, keep crushing that S&P. I really love what you're doing with that 7-Eleven report. We'll post a link within the weekend show posting so you can find out more about Rick's products. Rick, again, thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are wrapping up this weekend's edition with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Now, Mike, it's been a few weeks since we last chatted, and undoubtedly what we need to chat about this week, again, following up on that first segment that we had with Rick Bensignor, deals with Fed policy. 75 basis point hike by the Fed. This started to become known by the markets early on in the week when more media sources and some of these so-called Fed insiders said that, look, the Fed is going to hike by 75 basis points, even though the last time they had a meeting, they said that they were not going to do that. They're going to stick to 50 basis points. Clearly, the inflation data has moved the needle for the Fed because inflation just isn't coming down nearly as fast as they wanted. And quite frankly, it's not really coming down at all, at least in that last reading. Mike, your takeaway from that 75 basis point hike out of the Fed, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Fed really, especially recently, realized it was not just a little bit offsides, but way offsides when it comes to what the inflation numbers are showing, especially even, you know, Powell even alluded to this in his post-meeting comments, especially the most recent sort of inflation expectation figures and what Main Street was really just glomming on to the rise in gas prices and everything else and starting to, you know, when they have these surveys on what you expect inflation to do over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, all those numbers were going up. So I think what Jay Powell feared most is just, you know, public perception getting ahead of them, people therefore reacting in a rational way to, you know, expectations of a lot of inflation, asking for more, wage increases. Then you kind of get embedded in this wage price spiral like you had in the 70s. And that's what really had them spooked. So I think, that's why I think you had the Fed, you know, already prepped to hike 50. But then this most recent data came out, especially the dismal CPI number, when they were in sort of this quiet period or that they typically have before the meeting. And that just tipped them over the edge. So they had to, you know, kind of leak the news to the Wall Street Journal that they were going to do more so Wall Street itself wouldn't panic. And sure enough, you got the 75 basis point hike that was leaked and suggested. So it really does. I mean, you know, you listen to what Powell said. It really does come down to the perceptions, expectations, and the Fed realizing, you know, when you're this far off sides, there's no point in delaying the inevitable and kind of taking those measured steps you've taken in the past. This is a thing where you want to get on sides and get on sides fast. So by trying to front load more of these hikes, the Fed not only is being the most aggressive it's been since the mid-1990s in terms of the magnitude of this single hike, but also signaling more of that kind of action just to, again, not always be playing catch-up, especially because they're so worried about public perception and, you know, that sort of inflation expectation getting embedded in the economy and in wage demands and things like that.
Yeah, Mike, it's going to be interesting to see what the next few Fed meetings entail. I mean, most people have priced in at least a 50 basis point hike for July, but now they may be recalculating with a 75 basis point, and then everybody's got their eyes on September to see, can they keep things moving? The Fed has messaged they would like to get their Fed funds rate, that their target is to get it up to a 3-4% rate. And obviously that may entail some more market weakness. They've already messaged that they're okay with some of the stock market weakness because they want to pull back the demand side. So what's your take? Can they actually get it up to a 3-4% Fed's fund rate without things breaking?
You know, you're already seeing some things, some parts of the economy and the markets break, notably. I mean, we've talked about it before, just all the sort of really far out on the risk spectrum, garbage tech companies, you know, money losing IPOs, crypto, we've seen a lot of this sort of cycles equivalent of the dot-com cycles silliness. All of that part of the market has just gotten absolutely crushed, murdered, whatever like illusion you want to use there. And so we've already seen that happening, and that's been going on behind the scenes for a year now. It's only now starting to spread to the bigger parts of the market, the big tech companies. You're seeing housing really kind of hit a wall here in terms of demand, given how unaffordable housing prices had already gotten. And then you layer on top of that this surge in mortgage rates. I mean, a U.S. 30-year mortgage rate, it's kind of funny. I refinanced my loan back in November of last year when I kind of saw some things coming, and I decided, you know, I'm not going to keep waiting for lower rates. I'm going to lock in and refi now. I got 3.25, and right now you're talking about a no points 30-year rate in the low sixes. I mean, so essentially, just since November, the rate that a normal credit, you know, good credit borrower looking for a 30-year who has a nice down payment or you know, a chunk of equity, they're paying basically double in rate, and that has a huge impact on payment because the amount of loan you need, given the rise in housing prices, has gone up so much. So that sector is hitting a wall, and you're going to start to see more of that spread. I mean, we're getting to the point now where the layoffs, the firings, the companies starting to go broke that really didn't have any business being in business in the first place, that stuff is starting to happen. You're starting to get the economic fallout. So what I think we're going to see happen, and we're already seeing happen, you're going to start to see jobless claims tick up. You're going to start to see consumer spend. I mean, consumer sentiment was already terrible, right? Consumer sentiment is the worst we've seen in 40, 50 years, sometimes in the history of these sentiment surveys. And that even includes the depths of the great financial crisis, simply because Main Street's been hammered so hard by inflation. They've been hammered by housing unaffordability, rising gas prices, whatever. So sentiment was already terrible. Now with government stimulus running out, and with, you know, layoffs starting to rise, actual spending is going to start to roll over. And we saw that this week when we saw the, you know, worse than expected retail sales. I think that's what's going to start to happen now. So you roll it all together, the Fed is already kind of starting to break things. You're starting to see the economic fallout, and it stands to reason that what's likely to happen going forward is those big monthly job growth numbers are going to decelerate, spending is going to fall further, business failures are going to go up, and the Fed's going to realize, you know, we can't get to as high as we want simply because the economy can't handle it. So, you know, at what number is this hiking cycle going to stop? Obviously, it looks like it's going to go further than I expected before it started. But I still maintain that given the debt load on this economy, given wildly, unaffordable asset prices when it comes to things like housing, given what's already happening in the market and so on and the wealth effect, I just don't think that they're going to get to the yields of yesteryear because, you know, everybody talks about how, well, inflation's as bad as it's been in 41 years going back to the early 1980s. So why can't we end up with, you know, 15-16% funds rates and mortgage rates and all that? And I maintain that would be absolute economic Armageddon for the stock market, for the credit markets, for the housing market and so on. So I think things are going to break before we get there. But, you know, we'll see. I think the Fed definitely needs to get some relief on inflation. They need to get data showing inflation is peaking. And if they don't get it, they're going to keep on the warpath until they run us all off a cliff.
So, Mike, when you say the Fed is going to bring us to a breaking point or something breaks within the markets, I'm assuming, what does that mean to you? Can you expand on that? And when that happens, how quickly, in your eyes, does the Fed switch course?
Sure. Well, you already look at what's happening to things like the Japanese yen. I mean, it's not saying it's on everybody's radar screen. The Japanese yen's been absolutely falling apart, collapsing. You know, it's fallen to multi-decade lows because the Bank of Japan is the only bank that's trying to hold the line on easy policy when the rest of the world is tightening. So, you know, those kinds of moves tend to cause tremors in the credit markets. People get caught off sides. The crypto crash that we've seen, some of these, you know, these freeze ups and these companies that are, you know, apparently over leveraging crypto, all of a sudden, you know, going out of business or finding themselves with no money in the kitty. Those are your systemic kind of breaking points that you're starting to see. You know, that's why you're seeing things like the cost of credit insurance in the bond market, like credit default swaps and so on. The cost of insuring, your investments against bond defaults is surging. In Europe, the difference in yield between riskier Italian bonds and less risky German bonds, that spread is widening out again. If you remember back in the early 2010s, you know, and even before that, that's when we had that pigs crisis where all the peripheral European countries, the cost of borrowing was surging, and, you know, the ECB had to step in and save that. So there's all these pressure points. There's all these things going on in different parts of the currency, stock, and bond market that signify that the Fed is starting to break things. It hasn't broken anything badly enough that it's changed Powell's choice of policies, but ultimately I don't see how we get out of this without another financial accident, and a pretty significant one at that, given, you know, how much pressure we're talking about in terms of interest rates.
Yeah, now is the time to be defensive. And to your point, if you're losing money in the market is still priced in U.S. dollars, too, so it's a double whammy for you. So it's a tough market out there and a very different year. We're almost 6 months through it, and doesn't seem like we're going to get much relief for the next few months. Who knows, maybe the rest of this year and into 2023. Mike, thank you for your time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. What an interesting week it was with the Fed hiking more than expected when you consider the expectations from about a week ago. And the path of still more rate hikes, this bear market is seemingly going to be around for a while, and that's hitting pretty much all the stocks. Everybody, again, thanks for tuning in this weekend. Please keep in touch with Shad and I through email, flex@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and hey, we hope you all are taking a bit more of a defensive strategy right now because, hey, it's a tough market.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.